captain, but you can't seriously walk into the white.
Hey, Shant, what are you looking for? Off stump.
Change of bowler, batsman. New bowler's coming. Right arm over.
What are you trapping now, mate?
Right arm over, and of course it's Leezy. We love our cricket. Episode 3 now, after the special edition aired on the weekend. And thank you very much for all of the support for Right Arm Over. Boydy, huge week in cricket, not just for the podcast, of course, but cricket generally around the world and the Peel region. How have you been travelling, my shiny-headed, beautiful friend?
Yes, thanks, Tim, for the introduction. I'm probably due for a shave of the head soon, but hey, all good. I must admit, I've been a little bit disappointed. I've been frustrated. I've been emotional the last, say, 24 hours. As you know, I'm a big Carlton supporter. And, geez, what a...
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, I'm flat. I'm going to be honest, I'm flat. I'm pissed off. Now, Stephen Silvani, if you're listening, which you probably are, because let's be honest, Leezy, this has gone global.
Isn't this a cricket podcast?
Sorry it is, but I need to get this off my chest because, let's be honest, it just needs to be done. And this is my platform, so this is what I'll do. Now, Stephen, when you got two blokes coming to your club or who want to come to your club, as in Papley and Jack Martin, just get it done, mate. Fair dinkum. I haven't slept. I barely ate today. I've been shaken. I don't know where I am. I'm just pissed off. So let's just, can we move on before I start getting emotional and crying again because I'm over it.
The first thing I think of is I reckon the old Williams boys are thinking, Boydie could never finish the deal either out in the circuit after cricket games. So I mean, it's a bit rich, isn't it, that you're having a crack at Silvani for not being able to get the deal done when really your stats on the circuit over the years have been poor, which I suppose is a good thing for a married man now.
Mate, I don't want to go through the stats from previous life. I am a happily married man. I've got a little one on the way. Mrs. Boyd is going very well. She's got probably 2 weeks to go before little Miss Boyd is due, which is exciting times. And we'll see, you know, what really happens in a couple of weeks because I don't really know what I'm in for, but we'll see how we go.
I tell you what, we've been digging. We've been trying to find any dirt we can, any sort of ex-girlfriends, anything. I tell you what, the boys haven't been much help either. They just basically have said, well, until Betty came along, we just weren't too sure what was going on. So, I tell you what, the search for dirt has rendered fruitless. And let's just hope something rears up or bobs its head up in you know, the coming months or years. But at this stage, the guy's a clean cut, talking himself up, leg spinning, pudgy with a capital P. And I know that's a bit rich for me because I certainly don't have the smallest of love handles either. But we're rambling now, Boydie. So get us back on track, mate. What's happening in the show today? And no, you're not allowed to look at your run sheet.
Yes, sorry, Timmy. Let's move on because whatever we're rambling about is just not going well. So
it's not cricket.
It's not cricket. Let's go through the results from the weekend. So now this hurts me, but A grade, massive game on the weekend. We did play against Mandurah at home, Stanthwaite Reserve. Obviously, Friday night came along and I looked out the window in my track pants, my flannel. I was wearing a beanie. That's how cold it was, mate. There was penguins in my bloody living room. I looked outside. It was pissing down and I thought, there is absolutely no chance we're playing tomorrow. But the cricket gods obviously did something. I woke up Saturday morning. The sun was beaming. The birds were chirping and buzzing. And, we got to the game. Umpires had a bit of a look. So we had, a couple of hours off. But in the end, we had a 40-over game against Mandurah. We lost the toss. Bad work from Hutchie there. and we got sent in on a pretty lively pitch. Geez, I'm glad I wasn't batting at the top there because the ball was doing everything. Young Sachin and Matty Jenkinson were bowling pretty well from Mandra. I thought that Hutch and Brycey, they did pretty well to sort of stem the tide because the ball was absolutely popping everywhere. Unfortunately, Brycey went forward to a half volley, which almost hit him in the face, edged off. But Ranfo come in and steered the ship for us, really. I think we were probably 42 off maybe 20 overs, and they sort of had to do what they had to do. But then, they gave us a pretty good platform. Hutch made 50-odd, Ranfo 30-odd, and it pretty much sort of, when anyone else come in, it sort of gave us a bit of a platform to have a crack. So what do we make? Well, we made about 156 off our 40 overs. I thought we bowled okay. But in the end, we just didn't bowl too well. We didn't bowl it well enough. At the end of the day, we lost on the last ball of the innings. We had a couple of opportunities for a run out late just to finish the game. But at the end of the day, we lost the game. How'd your B-grade boys go?
Before we move on to that, can we talk a bit about you talking yourself up on the special edition Saturday night, because I know the podcast has gone worldwide and you've actually started to build a bit of a fan base over in India. I've noticed your the Twitter and the Facebook and the Insta is just going nuts. They just can't get enough of Boydie. So can you sort of just talk us through what the secret to the success is? Is it, just having that really nice dad bod physique and, with the chiseled, Fanta pant style mo, along with, to be honest, I don't think you need to do your head at all because it's just shining beautifully in the night sky tonight. So clearly you're doing something right globally.
I must admit, they were coming out pretty well on the weekend. I must admit, that bloody podcast that you did on Saturday night didn't sound all that great for me. I did sort of talk myself up a little bit. But, hey, if I don't, someone's got to, right? Exactly, if the cat fits. They were coming out pretty well, I must admit. But the pressure's on this week to back it up because my spin twin himself, Hutchie, didn't bowl all that flash. I must admit, Solly did get a hold of me a couple of times when I floated a few up. But at the end of the day, wasn't good enough. We lost the game. But I'm pretty confident that we can sort of, come back from this and hopefully get a win on the board this weekend.
All right, so let's talk about what's on the show, or the general ramble that we call Right Arm Over. We've got Steve Megsy Bauer, of course, legend of the Singleton Blues, life member of the Singleton Audience Cricket Club, 170-odd games, close to 4,000 runs, 200 poles. The guy is a living legend of the club, and he's got some serious dirt to throw around tonight. I tell you what, we've got a few things to throw past Megsy as well, don't we? We're going to have Back in My Day, all the usual favourites, Chin Music, of course, Quick Singles, where Boydie comes into his own. But just one thing I wanted to throw around, and it's not on the run sheet, because I know that's going to panic you a bit, and you're going to be clambering around for, well, hang on, Lazy, this is not part of the plan. But chafing and rash and boob rash. Now, it's something that suburban male cricketers don't like to talk about, but it's right up there as a huge issue. Now, you rock up to pre-season, you've been sort of maybe indulging a little bit too much in those sort of, April, May, June months. You turn up in July and all of a sudden those thighs, they're rubbing hard. If you don't have skins, ooh baby, the next day's pain city. And then something that you've never had to encounter in your life starts to occur. You look down and you see a formation of a man boob. Now, I know for some that they're comfortable with that because that's just, that's okay. And I'm okay with man boobs. Let's not just say that I'm not okay with man boobs.
All I'm saying is we need to protect those precious man boobs, because you run in, you sweat, those things bounce around and you get rash and it's painful the next day. So are there ways that we can actually help these suburban cricketers out there to, I don't know, help with this huge issue of boob and thigh rash?
So you've gone off topic here. To be fair, I had a bit of an incident early pre-season. Now, it's not boob rash or anything. They're not that big, so I'm pretty confident in that one. But however, I didn't wear my skins to a pre-season training, and Lovers, he had us running around the field a few times. Not that you would know because you were never there, but I was pretty committed, so I thought I'd have a crack anyway one day. You know, it was fairly warm and I was chafing hard, but I didn't realise it until maybe a couple of days later when this thing started to evolve on my inside of the leg. And I tell you what, that was not, it was not pretty. I had to, you know, I contacted my my cousin who's a nurse and asked her a few things of how to get rid of this thing, soak it in a bath, prick it with a needle, ooze it out. That was pretty much all I could do. It was not pretty, but anyway, I think we're rambling here. So,
no, we're not.
Well, these are the big issues in cricket.
All right, I think that's a new segment on the run here. We're just going to come up with some, you know, real life issues that suburban cricketers are facing. All right, we're going to be chatting to Steve Megsy-Bauer very soon. Very excited about it. And, you know, if we have a quick look at the B-grade, C-grade, D and E results, because, again, I've taken you off the plan, haven't I? I love doing it, Boydie. B-grade, 8 for 195. You know, absolutely walloped Mandra, 57. Peck, 5 for 30. C-grade, 3 for 121. They defeated Secret Harbour, all out for 116. Big Buckets Hall, 5 for. Filled his bag up with Cam Wheeler, 59. D-grade. 110, lost in North Bow Divers, 190 with Dan McFetish talking himself up on the podcast Saturday night, top scoring with 24. We already knew about that. And E-grade got belted, 82 to 221, but that's a real development age group that year, this year, because Jimmy Pearson, the skipper, is going to be bringing a lot of juniors through. So that's all for now. We might just try and get a bit extra wax here on Boydie's scone because, it's looking a bit dull near the back region there. So I might just get a bit of wax and polish it up for you, Boydie. But until then, we'll come back with a nice shiny scone and we'll be chatting with Steve Megsy-Bauer. Right, I'm over. Right, I'm over, and here we are in our episode 3, and what a fantastic special guest we've got, the Singleton Blues legend, 156 games, 70 in the A-grade, Boydie. I tell you what, pretty handy, 3,986 runs, let's just round that up to 4,000, at an average of 27.88, 191 poles, at an average of 16, and best bowling of 9 for 33, and of course it's Steve Megsy-Bauer. Boydie, pretty exciting event to have Megsy in here. And I'm just leaving him hanging at the moment. Look at him, he's just next to me here, just prowling like a bear ready to go.
He is absolutely itching to go here. We've got his young fella, Paulie, sitting over in the corner, just making sure he behaves himself. Now, Megsy, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Boydie. It's good to be here.
Good man. So, obviously, we just want to start off with a bit of background. So, can you tell us, and all the listeners out there, where did it all start? What made you play for Singleton? What roles that you've been involved in the club?
I come here to play rugby, actually. And I ended up hooking up with my missus. And we were, well, she was a Maori, of course. And we ended up putting down a hangi at the Captain Stirling Motor Lodge in Netherlands. And we were working all day putting down this hangi and all that kind of stuff. And some blokes just sort of rocked up and he's talking to Johnny Barron, who's my our brother-in-law. And John said, oh, come and meet Megsy. Megsy played cricket. And he introduced me to Slug. And that's how I met Slug at that Captain Stirling Motor Lodge. We started talking to that and he said, yeah, come down. we said we play a bit of social cricket and we're going to play in the Harvey Murray comp. So, yeah, the deal was done.
And just quietly, how long ago was this?
This was the end of 1985, thereabouts, I think, from memory.
Jeez, I was not even born back then. Anyway, so obviously you haven't been playing for a few years. Do you still take a bit of an interest in SICC?
Oh, very much so. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's sort of, it's in the blood. Can't get it out. Still take a big interest.
Do you miss playing at all?
Oh, very much so. Yeah, my body's sort of partially given up on me, but I'd still love to. And who knows, I might be able to get back and have a game or two this year. Now I've got a little bit fitter, dropped a few kilos, and yeah, got the head right. Hopefully.
I must admit, you are looking pretty sharp these days. I'm just going to pass you on to Mr. Lees.
I tell you what, he's playing a straight bat, isn't he, old boy? Just. It's like the first few pills from the new bowler. He's just not nibbling at anything outside off. All right, so we've got all those the straight bat questions out of the way, Megsy. Let's get in some dirt. Let's talk about some of the players that you've played with at the club. And apparently there's some current players at the club that were actually in the same year as some of your kids. So you've got some dirt on them as well. So can we start off by saying... the most animal player you've ever played with? On and off the cricket pitch, not just on the pitch.
Oh, there's been a lot of them. All the clubs I've played with, I've had one or two, you know. There used to be some guys that I played with up in Fremantle that used to hang out at Tarantella's quite regularly, and they used to get themselves into a bit of trouble on the booze and... Yeah, they used to hang out at 205 Knocker Shop quite regularly, actually, some of them boys.
Is that where you go knocking cricket bats?
Yeah, you just knock them in, play them in, and when they've been fully played in, you try to play them in again, I suppose.
Well, it's important that you keep that consistent contact onto the stick, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it keeps you in good form, keeps you consistent. There's nothing.
Are we still talking about the cricket bats, or...?
Of course.
Well, look, you talked about Harvey Murray and just having a chat to Paulie and yourself earlier in the hallowed corner where we've got our Premiership Cups, of course, in the Laurie Stanford Pavilion. We're talking about the history and how Harvey Murray actually wasn't part of the Peel Cricket Association. There used to be a couple of different bodies. And can you talk us through that? Because we've got some silverware in there from the Harvey Murray, and that was sort of news to me tonight. So... maybe can you explain what the other association was and then how it sort of came to be that it was one?
Yeah, well, what happened, when we first came into the comp, there was obviously no Peel comp or no Rockingham comp. Rockingham was actually playing in Fremantle Mercantile at the time. We had a side that put him into third grade, and we played sides like Benja, Yarloop and all those kind of sides, and it was in the Harvey Murray comp, which is basically run out of the guy by the name of George Gedling. He used to run it, or he was the president or whatever. And I think Ashley August from the Mandra Club had a little bit to do with it as well. But yeah, they were the two main guys that were sort of involved in it in them days. Didn't last too long. In that comp, we ended up sort of branching out and getting into our own comp. After that, there was a rocking. We had a bit of a downturn in actual players and things like that. There was only something like four teams in the comp.
I was going to say there was four teams, wasn't there? And Singleton was one of the founding teams.
Well, yeah. What actually happened was there was three teams, and we were trying to find a side at Singleton. We were heading down to training, and I was down training one day there, and I seen two old blokes there having a bit of it. Well, they just looked a bit old. They're probably a little bit older than me, I suppose. But it was Ray Hill and Bernie Milne. And they said, introduced myself and said, what are you doing? Where do you work? All that sort of jazz. And they said, we're going to come out and play cricket for you. I said, you know, we've really only got one or two bloody players, which was myself and Fieldsy. And that's about it that are capable of playing in that one grade. And, well, they committed to the club. And then that night, God, well, they were Darryl Wiley, who I consider to be the best cricketer that's ever played in this club.
So, Darryl, how's he related to Pete and John?
Daryl is a Daryl's a cousin. Daryl's a cousin. Daryl rang us up, and obviously his interest was in playing cricket, and without a fourth side, there was no competition. So Daryl's said to us on the phone, look, I'll get half a dozen guys to come out with what you've got. Hopefully we'll be able to field a side. So, you know, full credit to Daryl. Daryl bought it. There was himself. Mark Wiley came out. Brett Jennifini came out. Bobcat came out. I think I managed to have a chat to Mickey Moore at work, and Mickey Moore came out. So, yeah, we basically had a team of Mandra boys filling in under the singular name. But the good part about it was we kept the comp going, which was good. It was only a four-team comp at the time, but no, we did play. We could play some good cricket. Yeah.
Love capturing that history. Now, almost 4,000 runs, pretty much 200 poles, pretty handy for an all-rounder. If you're looking back on your career, what do you reckon made you like a good player? Like, you know, those kind of stats, mate, suggest that you're not just a good player, you're a pretty outstanding player. So what do you reckon, you know, gave you the edge against your opponents?
I love to play. I love to win. I love the game. I love to win. I studied a lot. I studied a lot about the just about the games with regard to your opponents, how to get your opponent out, how to try to intimidate them mentally. I had an instance here where a young bloke who I actually captained in Country Week as a 17-year-old has come up to me and said, you know, Megsy, you used to intimidate the fuck out of me when I played against you. And I said, well, I really hope you learnt a bit about that, mate. I really hope you learnt from that. And he's ended up being an association captain and playing a lot of good cricket, a very good cricketer himself. I'm not going to tell you who he is, but yeah, he's a good guy. And he reached some higher heights than what I did, but it's good to know he had an effect on someone.
Nice answer. All right, Megsy. So I'm going to play a little game with you now. This segment is called Quick Singles. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to run through about 10 questions, give you about 30 seconds a question. We'll try and pump them out. So let's start with your best memory at the club.
My best memory was collectively playing with my children. The best one instant memory is the partnership that myself and my son had against Mandra in the A grade. I think it was something like 5 for 40, chasing about 180. And myself and Paul got the runs, and Paul just cut sick and cut loose and hit Graham O'Day everywhere. It was great to watch from the other end, especially when you're watching your son. Just, yeah, it was great.
He does hit a nice ball, Mr. Paul. I just had a bit of a chat with him earlier and said, when are you going to come down? Because we can take him in the A grade, no doubt. Question number two, best story from your playing days?
Oh, probably X-rated, mate. Probably X-rated. There was a team that I played with up in Frio. We had someone that was in charge of team morale. And, a lot of the blokes that were a little bit down in morale quite often forced themselves to go and catch up with this person and re-energise themselves.
Okay, well, yeah, interesting. Favourite teammate and why?
Favourite. No real favourites. I loved them all. Santa was one of the funniest. He was absolutely hilarious to watch him on the field. Yeah, he laughed a minute. Santa was.
Best individual achievement?
Becoming a father.
Oh, isn't that nice? Second to 9 for 33, I take it. Okay, in your playing days, any superstitions?
No, not really. No.
All right, before the game, Friday night, what's the diet look like? Pasta, beers, nothing?
I had a fucking terrible diet all my life, mate. I'm actually, Slug Wester can tell you a little bit of a story. I'll leave that one to him, but that's about a Country Week game. a newspaper, a custard tart, and a 2-litre bottle of Coke for breakfast. But Slug will elaborate when you talk to him on that one.
All right. Who did you look up to growing up?
As a sportsman, as a cricketer? I probably used to like Keith Stackpole as a batsman when I was growing up. I liked Vivian Richards as well.
What was the biggest rival, as in club, back in your playing days?
Horse Head were very hard to beat. They were the yardstick. Obviously, to get Paul Gillam cheap was good.
All right. If you could go back in time and tell your 18-year-old self a piece of advice, what would it be?
Probably be a little bit more intense. Don't accept any mediocrity. Go for the throat. Try to achieve at a higher level as possible.
Hardest opponent?
No real individuals that are hard opponents, to be honest. They're all hard. No one stands out.
Best player you played with?
Darryl Wiley.
Gee, the Wiley name is quite, they're quite good, aren't they, those boys? All right, and this is the last one. What was your...
In order and reasons why.
Okay. What was your favourite part about cricket?
Just the competitiveness. The feel of the ball hitting the middle of the bat.
I've had this debate with many a sportsman over the decades. Yeah, I suppose decades now. I am getting bloody old, aren't I, Boydie? When you said 1985, I was alive. But do you rate, or do you think it's a good idea for sports people to work out on the workbench at home prior to sport?
No problems. I've got no problems with that. No problems whatsoever.
So you top order bats, don't mind if they've got up to that, or is it a strict just get straight to cricket, boys?
No, well, I'd do whatever you like, mate. I mean, I don't have a problem with the boys getting on the piss either, to be honest with you. As long as you enjoy yourself and it doesn't affect your game. If it doesn't affect your game, do what comes natural.
Stick to your routine. Now, Boydie, did you have those bit of chin music to throw at Megsy? Over to you, mate.
Okay, Megsy. Next segment, chin music. Don't worry, we're coming to an end. So, one-word answers. So I'm going to throw a couple of things at you. Just give us one word. All right, ready? Sunscreen or zinc?
Zinc.
When you're batting, what would you rather face? Pace or spin?
Pace.
Favourite fielding position?
Short leg.
Cricket or footy?
Seasonal.
Bowling or batting?
Bowling.
Favourite drink to quench your thirst?
Coca-Cola.
Okay, it's the innings break. What are you hoping for in the afternoon tea spread?
Anything edible.
Fair call. I'm going to swing it over to Leezy now for his favourite segment.
Definitely sausage rolls, mate. Definitely sausage rolls. All right, Megsy, we need a rant from you, mate, and I'm backing you in to eclipse Andrew the Silver Fox Peckover, who had his rant about back in my day, you applied yourself in the nets, you ran up and back, and you were tired, and you tested your skills when you were tired. There's not enough of that going on, and these whippersnappers, blah, 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 blah. That's all Boydie and I heard after a while. He's been sledging me at the back of the nets tonight, actually, the Fox, so screw him. Do you reckon you could come up with something? You just got to slip in back in my day at some stage in there.
Well, back in my day, when you were coached as a junior, we never had any helmets. We didn't bat in frigging helmets. Just soft, mate. Just soft. But back in my day, we actually learnt and were taught to get the back foot across. Back and across, inside the ball, take the short pitched ball from in front of your eyes and actually hook the ball. Not duck, not weave, but play a friggin' hook shot. Hit the ball for four. The bowler will not keep bowling that kind of stuff if you put him over the boundary or into the pickets. Learn to play the hook shot. Don't be reliant on the bloody helmet and say, hey, I'm cool, I got a helmet, it's not going to hurt me.
Sensational. I'm just going to say one thing, Steve Smith.
Oh, great eye. Great eye, absolutely magnificent. Great eye.
Unbelievable, isn't it? Just backs himself in. Would you rate him to get take the captaincy back or leave it with Timmy?
I think Tim May has done a good job for what?
Timmy May, bowling off spin. He's out of unfrozen out of cryogenics.
I apologise. Tim Payne has done a very good job, but I think his caretaker role's over. Steve Smith backs it. He should be welcomed back to the captaincy.
Mate, I tell you what, right arm over and Megsy here, just tell you what, just put it down in the latest release, the news highlights tonight, mate. I tell you what, news.com, all of them, they're going to be all over it when this podcast gets released. Over to you, Boydie, to wrap things up. But Megsy, from my point of view, thanks heaps for coming in. Look forward to seeing you around the club. Of course, remiss of me to mention earlier, a life member of the club, of the Singleton Blues and Singleton Owenians Cricket Club, an absolute legend, and just really appreciate you coming in. Over to you, Boydie.
All right, Mr. Megs. Time to we're going to wrap it up soon, but I'm going to give you the microphone here, and if you want to dish any dirt on anyone from the club, past, present, possibly future, now is your time. Hit it.
Not really dish any dirt. I just think it's quite good. It's quite enlightening to see some of these young boys that went to school with my children back at the club taking senior roles. Committee roles, coaching roles. You know, it wasn't that long ago where guys like Christopher Loveridge and Boydie and all those sorts of, they were sitting on Mrs. Oxenberg's naughty mat with a bloody dunce hat on and pissed themselves in the corner. Now they're running the cricket club that I founded. With Slug, of course, but that's quite good. Yeah, it's really nice to see. So, I hope you boys don't piss your pants anymore, but... it's good to see you's taking a leadership role and playing good cricket. Thanks, Boydie.
And Mr. Megs, thanks a lot for coming in. As Timmy said, an absolute legend of the Singleton Owenians Cricket Club. So I don't know if I actually pissed myself. I can't remember that one, but it must have been a while ago. But anyway, once again, thanks for coming in. We've really enjoyed a trip through memory lane, and hopefully we see you again soon. Apart from that, Mr. Tim, thanks for your time tonight, and I hope everyone enjoyed this little segment. I'll hand it over now.
Right, I'm over. Right, I'm over, and the Peel Country Cup representative side was picked today, Boydie, and wow, what a huge congratulations to the five Singleton Owenians players that have been selected: Mitchell Shell and Brad Ranford, Tim Hutchison, the skipper, Bryce Evans, and of course Ian Bowes, who's a current, well, past Country 11 representative player in the squad, along with Bryce Evans and Hutch, who also captains the WA Country 11. But I suppose Mitchell Shellam and Brad Ranford may be surprise selections, but not from a Singleton Owenians perspective, because Ranfo been on fire with the stick for quite some time now. But fantastic achievement for those five players from SIC, Boydie. Benny Wright in there as the vice captain. You've got two Mandra players in Matt Jenkinson and Sachin. You've also got three Waroona players in Dan Abel, Zach Moody, and of course Booger Benny Wright. So a fantastic achievement for those players that have made the squad. Do you want to just quickly talk about how the format's changed to a 50-over competition and how the chances are for Peel in this competition moving forward, the WA Country Cup, Boydie?
Yeah, well, I think it's a really strong side that they've picked. I mean, I don't think there's any Pinjarra boys, so I thought Jamie Lee and even maybe Zad's pretty stiff, not to make the side, but gee, it's a bloody strong side. I know Chris Loveridge, I think he was close, but I think his work commitments have ruled him out. But geez, I'm glad I am not facing that bowling attack.
Mickey Holmes in there as well from South Mandurah. I forgot about him. Sorry, Mickey.
Yeah, seriously, I'll sort you out with a beer next time.
Yeah, well, I mean, we played Mandra on the weekend. Poor old Jeremy Leatherbarrow, he probably hits a ball better than anyone. And unfortunately, he did blow his knee out in the warm-up the other day, or pretty much before round one, which is not ideal. He'd probably be one of the blokes who probably hits – no one hits a better ball than him. However, Sachin probably opened the bowling with maybe Matty Jenkinson, Mickey Holmes, really good bowler. And then we got our boys, Ian Bowes. He's been a good player for a very long time. Shellum, good keeper, keeper bat. So hopefully he can whack a few. You got Brycey Evans, obviously the captain, Hutchie. He's just the star, isn't he? Hopefully he bowls a bit better than he did on the weekend. But I'm going to be honest, Leezy, they're going to be a pretty hard team to beat, especially in the 50-over format. I know 2020 is a bit hit and miss. Sometimes you can have a good day, but when it comes to 50 overs, when you've got such a quality side like they've got, I mean, they bat to 11. They bowl, probably got 7-8 options to bowl. Yeah, it's going to be pretty threatening for whoever they're playing against, that's for sure.
And I do believe I'm missing one player. We've got to be able to work it out who it is. I'm sure it's Jesse Buck from South Mandra as well. So it's Jesse and Michael Holmes are the two players from South Mandra. Two players from Mandra in Sachin and Matt Jenkinson. Three players from Waroona, Daniel Abel, Zach Moody and Booger Wright. And, of course, the five Singleton and Winians boys form that squad of 13 in that Country Cup team. And straight away, Boydie's in the background saying, what about me? I think what we might do is actually fade out to Shannon Knoll. What about me? And I tell you what, Bryce Evans will be up and about here, Singleton and Winians stalwart, but he loves a bit of Shannon Knoll.
And to be honest, so do I. But, you know, leg spin is just not cool anymore, apparently. But, hey, that's all right. I'll cop it on the chin, buddy.
Less chafe, more selection, I reckon, is the moral to that story. Of course, you know, the hard-hitting issues are getting addressed here, as in male chafe in a senior cricket atmosphere. It's a huge problem, Boydie. I tell you what, I've been tackling it for years, and, you know, no amount of ointment can help a weeping, chafing burn. And I tell you what, the only thing that really helps is an ice-cold glass refreshment resting up against it. After slogging it out like Steve Megsie Bauer has, after a couple of hours sledging on the pitch, so let's move right along.
All right, moving on from that, Tim, you got something about chafe at the moment, but hey, let's just have a quick preview of next week's games in the A grade. We've got Shoalwater Bay versus the mighty SICC at Stantwhite Reserve. Should be a good game. I'm pretty confident. Hopefully we can get over the line there. We've got a pretty good side in. Unfortunately, Brycey Evans is sunning himself in Bali at the moment, but hopefully young Kurt Diamand can come in and make a few runs in his place.
You clearly haven't listened to the last podcast. It's Do Your Mand. Do Your Mand. That's Bart Lake, remember? Clarified that one from the last podcast. So it's Do Your Mand.
Sorry, I might just go with Kurt D. Anyway, moving on, we've also got South Mandra versus Pinjarra, which should be a pretty good game. South Mandra had a nice win on the weekend over Warmbra, so I reckon that would be a nice game there. I think C. Jones hit a few, new recruit for Pinjarra, so look out there. Yeah, so Horsehead got the bye, so I'm guessing they're going to win that one. Mandra versus Waroona, which should be an absolute cracking contest down at Meadow Springs Reserve on Saturday, 12 p.m. Waroona are coming off the bye, so they might be a little bit rusty, but who knows? Mandra played quite well last week. And we've got Warmbra Swans versus White Knights Baldivis at Curry Street Reserve, which is in Warmbra. So you got some really good games there. I'm pretty confident in our boys getting over the line, Leezy. What about the B grade? Looking all right?
Yeah, to be honest, if we played on my back lawn, it'd be better than the pitch we were on last week. So, look, anything would be an improvement this week. I'm looking forward to, you know, reaffirming our flat track bully status at home on carpet against the Shoalwater Bay boys. The Seals, always a fiery contest. They love to get up and about with the chat. Not sure where they're at this season.
But I'm sure it'll be a cracking contest with the Bees and the Seas at Laurie Stanford this weekend. I think the Orange and Black Clubhouse will be humming Saturday night. And look, if you are experiencing chafe or boob rash or any of these other conditions, please send us an email, rightarmover@gmail.com, and that is with an A on the end. And of course, we're now on Twitter as well, so you can check us out at @rightarmover on Twitter and Facebook, of course. Get on there and give us a share and a like. The podcasts, well, they go up, and then 3 or 4 days later, they start going off on all of the different platforms, Spotify, iTunes, everywhere, which is a bit scary because hopefully people never work out where we actually live, Boydie.
Yeah, well, that's for sure, especially when you keep talking about chafe. But anyway, we'd just like to thank all our, you know, our listeners at the moment. We've had a really good following. We've only just made a Facebook page, and we've got over 300 likes. We've got people saying, you want to get sponsored left, right and centre, so it's all going pretty well. We don't really know what we're doing here. We're just sort of having a crack and seeing what happens. But hope everyone enjoys the podcast tonight. Hopefully we have 5 wins for the mighty SICC this weekend, and hope everyone enjoys this and has a good weekend. For now, enjoy.
Here we go, roaming mic here.
Hello.
That's Rabbit.
Hello.
Man of few words, Dan McFetish. We heard a lot from him the other night.
Here he is.
Yes, Hutch. Where is he? Here we go. Train lines is right up.
And there he goes.
Coming up very soon, train lines. We're just going to see who we can find here in the car park, stroaming around. Now, Jeff Yeeble, mate, you're used to sleeping in car parks like this. What do you reckon? This surface be pretty good for a kip?
Yeah, I actually...
Okay. Thank you, Jeffrey. It's actually Jeff on his birth certificate as well. Tell you what. He's oh, and Daniel Jones. Look at him with 2 cricket bags, 5 bats, 8 protectors, 3 sponsors. Have you got a chest to pin it on there?
No, not yet.
A lot of talk around your conditioning in the pre-season. You look pretty trim to me, so do you reckon the boys are just blowing it up?
I reckon. I did blow out a little bit, but yeah, it's come back now.
Was a confession there of being a little bit large. Hey, on Wool Train, where are you going, Train Lines? Here we go. Just handing it over here now to the Wool Train.
Well, I know he's your captain, but you can't seriously like him as a player.
Hey, Shant, what are you looking for? Off stump.
Change of bowler, batsman. New bowler's coming. Right arm over.